The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Shaka Hislop here with you in the studio. We are also welcoming in Sid Lowe to join us to talk about everything that's going on at Barcelona right now. And after that 3-0 loss to that happened for them in the Champions League, well, there is a lot to be talking about right now, particularly what's going on with Ronald Koeman. So 3-0 loss to Benfica, first loss to a Portuguese team since the 87-88 UEFA Cup. This is two losses to start a European campaign. It's the first time that's happened since the early 70s, the first back-to-back Champions League group losses since 2000. And they're the only Champions League group of all the teams with not a single shot on goal in their first two matches in the tournament this season. So lots of trouble. There was talk of a board meeting being called at Barcelona today, and everybody thought Koeman could be sacked after this, but it turns out that's not the case. So, Sid, he's still there, right?
He is still there. We expect him to still be there for the game against Atletico at the weekend. And then, of course, what happens is we get the international break. So that gives Barcelona time to try and handle this. Now, one thing that's very clear here is that this is not an easy thing to do. If it was easy to get rid of Koeman, if it was cheap, if an alternative could be easily found, they would have already sacked him. Because this is a situation that's been broken for a while now. What they're desperately doing now, of course, is accelerating that search for a new manager. Laporta has let it be known that he wants a modern manager, whatever modern means. Obviously, we can kind of discuss what that may mean, what that represents from Laporta's point of view. But he wants Koeman out and he wants to be able to manage this as quickly as possible. But it won't come, I don't think, unless we get really, really shocked in the next, 24 hours, it won't come in time, I think, for anyone other than Koeman to be in charge against Atletico Madrid on Saturday night.
So let's talk then about what he does mean by a modern manager, Sid.
Well, look, I think we got a little bit of a glimpse of this or a little bit of a sense of what kind of coach he was after in the summer. Because in the summer, he went for three different German managers. And of course, he went for this new generation of German managers. It wasn't able to get any of them. So he went for Nagelsmann, he went for Flick, he went for Klopp even. Obviously, that wasn't going to happen. And I must confess, I think there's a fourth on the list, which now escapes me, who I now can't remember. But there was a clear sense of, right, okay, so you go for managers that have some of that Barcelona identity, a team that wants possession, a team that's technical, a team that plays a passing game, but we want to give it a modern twist. And in Barcelona terms, what they see that modern twist as being is a higher intensity game, a high pressing game, a team that is perhaps physically better prepared than this Barcelona side is. And I think that's what we're looking at now. But of course, there's another thing to bear in mind here. And that is, to be perfectly honest, you get the managers you can. And right now, you can't get the managers that you might actually want.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, isn't it, Shaka? We've seen all sorts of names, including Andrea Pirlo, coming off.
Well, very few of them make sense. But to Sid's last point, Barcelona, while they're still a huge club and there will be no shortage of managers interested in that job, how many of those with real pedigree that as soon as another big job opens up, will be on their radar? Barcelona, given their financial troubles, given how poor this squad is right now, Sydney at the very least performing, I'm not too sure that any of those preferred targets will want to take over this job, not right now.
Just while we do see Xavi's name as well, is there some issue between Joan Laporta and Xavi? Because we've heard him saying that he doesn't think he's got the right amount of experience just yet, but we know that Pep Guardiola was put into a role without much experience at all, and that was under Laporta too.
Yeah, and of course, Laporta had Guardiola as the B-team coach. I think he would very much like Xavi to coach in Spain for a while before taking over the Barcelona job. For what it's worth, I think Laporta would absolutely love Xavi to be the manager. But I think there's another element here, which is difficult to entirely put your finger on. But put fairly simply, Xavi had aligned himself with Victor Font, who, of course, was the other presidential candidate who lost to Laporta. Now, it's certainly true that once Laporta had thrown his hat into the ring, Xavi went very quiet. And he backed away from being a vociferous supporter of Font. But everybody knew that he was the guy that was going to be in charge of the whole sporting project under Font. Now, I think the fact that Xavi backed away tells you that he didn't want to annoy Laporta. He wanted to still have the possibility of going to the club with Laporta. And he felt a degree of affection for Laporta from the last time that Laporta had been president, and a degree of connection. And so, therefore, didn't want to be openly in line with another presidential candidate once Laporta had become a candidate as well. But Laporta, of course, knows that in the eyes of public opinion, in the eyes of most people who are Barcelona members, and indeed Barcelona fans who are not members and therefore didn't vote but still support the club, they would still look at this and think, OK, but we know in a way that Xavi was Font's man. And I think that provides or imposes on Laporta a certain degree of, I wouldn't call it nervousness, and I certainly wouldn't call it rejection, but I think a certain degree of caution about taking that step, or at least about taking it just yet.
Would a new coach make any difference, Sid, right now?
Well, that's the key question, isn't it? That is the key question. And I guess it's very, very difficult to answer that. Now, Koeman, of course, keeps on saying, we know what the problem is. It's financial. We've got to be realistic. He said the other day that if Barcelona were to finish in the high positions in La Liga, which we assume means top four, but we don't actually know what he meant, well, that would be a success, that we can't expect miracles in the Champions League. In other words, we can't win it. And so you say, well, if you take Koeman at face value, you say, well, yeah, you're right. There are really big problems. There are huge financial problems at the club. The squad is slightly limited. That said, that kind of fatalistic attitude or defeatist attitude probably doesn't help, even if it's broadly true. That said, even within the context of the team they've got, I think there are some questions about Koeman, not least about the structure, about the style, about the whole idea of a Barcelona identity. And then there's another thing, which is that if you have that, is the connection with the players not so good? And just as importantly, this very public falling out that we're seeing now between Laporta and Koeman. Now, I say this from the outside, obviously, but that can't help but have an impact on the club, can it? It cannot be good for the club for this to be the dominant theme all the time, before every game, after every game. Every question is about that. If nothing else, a new coach comes in and changes that side of things, if only because, for the time being at least, he's got the backing of the institution.
Taking a look at La Liga's top half, even though Barcelona have had their problems, they're just 5 points behind Real Madrid and they do have a game in hand. Interesting that the two teams highlighted, Atleti and Barcelona, are playing this Saturday. Yeah, recent history in La Liga isn't favourable for Barcelona against Atleti. Can you see a winner in this one? Would you care to give us a prediction, Sid?
You're always on a hiding to nothing as soon as you give a prediction. But let's add a couple of elements into this. As you say, recent history hasn't been that kind. And when Atletico Madrid have been beaten by Barcelona, it's tended to be delivered by one man and one man only. And that man has gone. And you would look at it now, and given the emotional state of Barcelona, you would think that Atletico Madrid should be favourites. But it's really important to make this point. Atletico Madrid have not had a good start to the season either, and they don't look quite right either.
Thanks, Sid. You'll be able to hear more from Sid on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. He's a special guest there. This week, it's Gab and Stuart Robson. Make sure to download it wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up in the Premier League this weekend, a top-of-the-table clash between Liverpool and Manchester City, first against second. We'll be talking about it on tomorrow's show. I'll be back and I'll be joined by Nadim, Stevie and Craig. Make sure to join us then. And don't forget that ESPN FC is available 7 days a week. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C-E-bikes.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time.
We're the part-timers.
Yeah, the part-timers.
We're those part-timers. You spoke
joining
the
us. We've got Frank Leboeuf, I think, if he can be bothered to join us.
Oh, yeah,
here they are. And Jan Agafyortov as well. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for
the
joining us.
Are back. Pleasure.
Part-timers.
A real pleasure.
Can't believe it. Here we are, Shaka.
Grinding away all
so
day
tired,
long.
All day long, all our research, and you two just join at the end for all the glory.
Kay, where do you think I am now? I am in Bulgaria. Sofia, Bulgaria.
I love that. Where do you think I am? As if I would.
Exactly. Nobody ever knows where you are. Yeah, and that's
exactly.
The trouble.
Where's,
exactly.
Where's Jan?
A part-timer can't just only be in Oslo. I have to be part-time all over the place.
What's happened to the hair? Is there a problem with the water or the shampoo there, Jan? It's not as sleek as usual.
It's 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning in Bulgaria, and I'm staying up for you guys to be a part-timer, and I'm in my hotel room, Hilton Hotel in Sofia.
Oh, beautiful. There you go. Go camp outside and wake him up, keep
That's
him up
right.
all night. Right. I don't think he's too happy about us calling him a part-timer. All right, let's start then with you, Shaka. Was there ever a clutch player like Ronaldo in your playing days?
Let's see. Probably the player you can count on most, Alan Shearer, I'd go for. I don't think a player with a better finisher. And Alan Shearer could find a goal when you needed it most.
Frank, who was the player that you could count on most when you were playing?
Mark Hughes. Because of his strike, because he was very talented at front, but also because he was a real relief when we were under pressure. That guy could held the ball for like a minute, allowing us to go forward. It was a real breath for us to give him the ball. So yeah, I was really in love with that player in such difficult times, yeah.
Jan?
Well, I think I have to stick to myself, don't I? I always have to trust myself.
You don't have to, Jan. You don't have to.
No, but I think, Kay, we would agree that at Middlesbrough, we had a little player called Juninho, and when we needed someone to just keep the ball for 5 minutes, we can always give him the ball. So I think that is the nearest I will come to that kind of player.
Juninho, Mark Hughes, good. And Ronaldo. Yeah, Juninho, the little fella.
Juninho
amazing.
Was good.
All right. Well. Okay. Frank Leboeuf, I'll ask you, Frank. If Messi was willing to do it, would you be willing to lie down behind the wall on a free kick?
Oh, this is interesting.
That would be stupid for me to lie down behind the wall because I'm pretty tall, but I think it was very thoughtful from the coach to put Messi behind. And I think it was nice to see him laying down, you know, relaxing a little bit, getting some rest to offer us a fantastic goal afterwards. It's great. Good position.
Jan's been tweeting about this today.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I mean, I got a lot of people, like 8 of 10 came back to me and said, fantastic, he's doing everything for the team. But I don't want Messi to lie down. I don't want that. I was looking for metaphors. I don't want John Lennon carrying the guitar himself. I want him on a stage. You know, I didn't like it. I can get the point. Messi is showing everything. But I don't want Daniel Craig making his own makeup. I want him to be James Bond. So there was something with that photo I didn't like.
All right, I guess Jan didn't like that.
Well, that guy's a romantic, you know.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
He's a forward.
No time for romance for Jan, that's what it is. Far too early in the morning, yeah.
No, he's a forward player, you know. He's a forward player, he's a romantic. He doesn't want to see the forward players doing the dirty jobs, you know. They are with style, they have to keep with the style. That's what it is.
What you mean is he's a forward player
honestly,
and he's got a big ego.
No, I didn't. Did to me? You asked me, Kay?
No, but I'm just saying. What Frank's just saying basically is that forwards always have big egos.
No, but the forward players, they pay money to Frank Leboeuf. They score the goals so that he will have a lot of money in his account and he's a World Cup winner. But the thing is, exactly. But the thing is, imagine you go, to use that metaphor, you go to the latest Bond movie and he's coming to a hotel and he gets his car himself. He needs to just wait for that car. And then Messi couldn't lie down behind the wall. Terrible photo. Terrible photo.
Don Hutchison's math teacher says, for Jan, why were you nicknamed the Feather? Was it because you were light physically or because of your magnificent hair resembling the beauty of a peacock's feathers?
Oh, goodness me. Oh, God.
The feather. No.
For me, the white feather was Ravinelli.
Yeah, exactly. He was a white feather. I think, first of all, it's unbelievable that Don Hutchinson... Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, my word.
What a stadium.
I was young.
James Bond. We're talking about James Bond.
I've never seen this stadium.
What a team.
What a team that was. That is Ayrton Park before we left for Riverside. But I think feather is because my first name is Fjørtoft, and in Norwegian, fjør is feather.
I kind of like the peacock bit better. So I like the peacock version.
Did you tell Ravinelli you're not having that name?
Yeah.
Ravinelli, okay, this is an internal for us, but I remember he was sitting with Graham Kavanagh in the bus discussing why they got grey hair so early. It was a long conversation for an hour in the bus, and the two of them were discussing it.
A little bit of insight into the hair of Borough players there. Jan, lots of questions for you tonight. Jan, what is going wrong with Sancho? Will he fulfil his price tag at United?
Well, first of all, didn't we all feel a bit sort of funny about that squad of England today? I mean, Bellingham and Greenwood, I hope they were just rested because I think they will be one of the best players England have had of this generation. And Southgate also said it's not easy to get all the goals and the assists that he got in the Bundesliga, in the Premier League. Fair enough. But I don't think he has arrived yet at Manchester United. And Sancho also had that time at the Dortmund. Sometimes he was out for a while, half of the season he was like average, and then he exploded again. So hopefully now we can learn from Cristiano Ronaldo and take the next step also in England.
Oh, gosh, there's so many. And there's more for Jan, really, I think, this one, with because we're talking about young Bundesliga stars. I will ask you, Frank, afterwards.
I'm going to bed, that's all right.
No, Frank, you've already been in bed through the whole show,
Frank,
and just decided to join us for extra time. Right. Jan, with young Bundesliga stars such as Werner Havertz and Sancho all struggling in the Premier League, should English clubs be cautious in signing Haaland?
I think that is one of the most stupid questions I've seen in my life. But first of all, Kai Havertz, the last, sorry, Dan the Orange Man. That is a great title, by the way. But I think that Kai Havertz, last time I checked, he scored a winner for Chelsea in the Champions League final. So I think that a lot of clubs would love to have a match winner in the Champions League final. As for Timo Werner, yes, he's struggling at the moment, but he's still got a coach that said last season he was very important for them. So they're coming. You saw, I don't know if you saw today with Wirtz, who is playing for Leverkusen. There's another star for you too at Leverkusen. Great. Yeah, very good player. So they're coming, some Musiala.
I just want to say something.
Go ahead, Frank.
I just want to say something about what Jan just said about Havertz, because that's the simple answer to anybody when we start criticizing Havertz that he scored a goal for the Champions League final. Overall, I saw him playing for his former club in Germany. He was 10 times better than I ever seen him playing for Chelsea so far. So I have the right to expect much more from that young talent, because I know he's a real talent. And it's not because he scored a goal during the Champions League final that is we have to exempt him to any criticism, because I think he can give so much more to Chelsea, really. Really, and yes, thank you for scoring that goal, but you can give us more, for sure.
I remember when I was living in England and Frank LeBeuf was at an entertainment program, I think it was They Think It's All Over. And every time he got an answer, he said, sorry, I won the World Cup. So now you bite yourself in the tail.
Yeah, Frank.
That's a good point.
All right. But I have to say it was planned and made up by Gary Lineker, was the anchorman of the show. He said, whatever I ask you, you say you don't care, you won the World Cup. You know?
I love it.
And that's what I did.
Frank,
and people thought I was bragging. I wasn't bragging. That's maybe the only time that I wasn't bragging, you know, in my life.
I heard you're a big timer.
But Frank, first of all, when you won the World Cup, I would have said it every hour, every day, every week. But I played with Branko in Middlesbrough, and he came to Middlesbrough when he was like 63 and a bit too fat. But in any discussion we had, he just said, I won the World Cup. And that was not made up by Gary Lineker.
Okay, well, fair, and you know what? What's someone going to answer to that?
There's no comeback to that.
All right. This is Shaka Hislop's Newcastle jersey, which, by the way, it disappeared on our digital the other day. And you had this very nice painting behind you and no Newcastle jersey.
Yes, I changed the painting behind me. I'll put it back just for you.
Oh, so you actually changed it. So you've stopped supporting Newcastle now.
I'll put it back for you, right. Since you requested it so now.
Right. Jan, is there a Norwegian version of doing it on a rainy night in Stoke?
Doing what?
No, we have copied that. We are using that. there are people in Norway using that. No idea where Stoke is and nothing. They do that all the time. So now I can't find a version of the Norwegian, of Norwegians.
Shaka, did you do on a rainy night?
Never in Stoke.
What about you, Frank? Did you ever do it on a rainy night in Stoke?
No.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing so much?
I don't know. It's almost Friday. All right. Okay, Frank, is the clunkiness of Chelsea games simply summed up by injuries to James, Kante, Mount and Pulisic?
Well, I would say especially Kante. I mean, we saw the difference he made when he came on against Tottenham. And when he came back, you know, just before the Champions League last season, he's the guy who makes the difference. So, of course, it counts when you don't have Kante in the middle of the park. And I think Chelsea is different. Now, for the others, I don't know. Of course, Mount had a fantastic season last season, and he has to come back to his best and get out of his problems. But of course, with all those names, Chelsea would be better. But supposedly, they bought some other players who should do the differences. So there is no excuses. Some other team have also injuries, problems with some players. And nobody should complain, because those teams normally have two teams inside the squad, so it should be enough, especially to do well against Juventus, who are struggling in the Calcio and not being that good, and Chelsea couldn't find a way to score a goal.
Well, this leads us on to the next one. It's a question for you, Shaka. Do you agree with Antonio Conte? He said Chelsea have not yet figured out how to use Lukaku. Like last night, Chelsea kept on going centrally. It was clearly not working. They should have put more crosses in and tried to use his height.
Listen, I thought Tuchel got it wrong tactically against Juventus. And yes, they were going centrally because that's where Juventus kind of channeled them to. But they were missing Reece James, as it pointed out. And I think, just kind of going back to that, to the previous question, I think Chelsea probably has one of the deepest squads in the Premier League. Yet you take N'Golo Kante, Mason Mount out, and it makes such a telling difference to who they are. On the one hand, I want to say, listen, Tuchel got it all wrong. I think he will get it right, and just give him time. The other, I don't agree with Antonio Conte saying what he did when he did. I just think, as a former manager of Chelsea, as Lukaku's former manager at Inter Milan, okay, maybe he's being asked for his opinion as a professional, as a former manager. It just came across wrong to me, and certainly how it's being repeated and portrayed. When I just think Tuchel, for as good as he has been, sometimes you get it wrong, and you have to put your hands up, accept that, and move on.
But was Conte right, Frank?
No. No, he was wrong to say it, and he was in a way bragging for me. You know, when he says, because I have the interview in front of me, sorry, I have to wear my glasses. When he said a coach is good if he can improve players, I think we did great work with Romelu over 2 years. It's bragging. He say, I did well. I was able to put Romelu Lukaku at his best, which is right, which is completely right, and he did very well. But he's seeing, if you read between the lines, Tuchel doesn't. But and as a former coach of Chelsea, you should take a step back, you know, at some point, you know, and stop bragging.
Jan? Well,
first of all, in general, I've interviewed Conte a couple of times, and he's the most depressing man ever to interview, because when you do interviews with him, you just feel that he will be gone by the end of the answer. But I think that with Lukaku, I think that he's the right player for Chelsea, being used right. It's perfect to have that being number nine. We discussed that before. But I think that Xhaka said it, they have a big squad, but I think it's all about the balance in a squad, the defined role in the squad. And you see that how important Kante is, that kind of player. And yes, I think Tuchel will get it right. He has got it right with Chelsea before, but at the moment, and I saw the game last night as well, but Lukaku could have had two goals. I mean, even if the tactic was wrong. So I think that Chelsea would be good again.
Okay, this is for all of you. I'll start with you, Shaka. Who's the funniest teammate you've played with?
John Monku. I didn't have to think about it.
Why so funny?
John Monku. So John Monku and Paul Gascoigne were best of friends when we're in their time together at Spurs. John Monku is Paul Gascoigne without the lights and the paparazzi following you.
Right.
And when I first signed for West Ham, I'm there no more than a week. Steve Lomas has a housewarming party, puts up a big tent to the side of the house, everything. all of a sudden they start playing playing that song, You Can Leave Your Hat On, from that movie.
Yeah, the Full Monty.
Full Monty. John Munker gets on the table and starts, all the players and wives are there. All the wives are there. He starts stripping.
Oh no.
I am there a week. I cannot believe I'm looking at my wife like I do not know what I've never seen this before in my life. He starts stripping, somebody gives him a hat. He's dancing on the table, stark naked, but his hat falls off, big gash in his head, there's blood everywhere. I am like this. And it only went downhill from there. Oh. That was him at his best.
Oh, no.
It went downhill from there. Moncur, but saying that, hilarious and incredibly talented footballer.
Right.
Incredibly talented footballer. I have to say that. But my goodness, you just didn't know what. You had no idea what was in store. None.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yes?
That's a good one. Yeah, well, can you beat that, Jan?
I will say John Moncur. Because I played with John at Swindon Town, and once we were going to a game in London, and as we know, the traffic in London is very slow, and he climbed up at the roof at the back, you know, that's a small hole at the back of the bus, and then he was crawling on the roof, and then he was knocking on the forward entrance at the bus and the roof, and the chairman was sitting there, and he was wondering what is going on, and then he had to let John Moncur come down the rooftop in the middle of London, and I mean that is just one of them, and it's an unbelievable funny guy.
Frank,
you can't say John Moncur.
Well, I would have loved to say. I cannot. Dan. So I will go for somebody else. I mean, one of the most talented players that I ever seen is Christophe Dugarry, playing for Bordeaux, Milan, Barcelona, and finished his career, I think, in Birmingham. And the guy was maybe the laziest person I ever seen, during the training session. But the funniest guy ever, you know. And I worked after his career. I worked. He was a pundit for a radio show. And during my 7 years with the national team, he was there with Zidane. He was a friend of Zidane. He was teasing Zidane like nobody would have the guts to tease Zidane. Like, I mean, us, you know. When Zidane decided to become a coach, I was on holidays with Christophe Dugarry at Christophe Dugarry's place, and he called Zizou and left him a message. He said, "How come you want to become a coach? You know, you have to write something, you know, to the people to explain why you want to become a coach." Well, you write daddy with only one D, so how come you want to become a coach, you know? And that was completely crazy. And they say, you're talking to a legend. He said, well, he's just my mate, you know, I don't care, you know. Christophe made me laugh like crazy on the field, outside of the field, after my career. He's a very, very nice guy. He can't stop teasing others, and I was the first target of him.
I like it. Although Zidane definitely got the last laugh there, didn't he? Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is for you, Jan. Does Ole not see what we see on the pitch? There seems to be no improvement at United and no cohesive way to play.
Oh, we had so much fun now, and then we start with all these serious questions.
It's like an Antonio Conte interview.
It's a booze fault.
Well, as you know, this was a great game for Manchester United. They put reserves on, they turned the game around, and Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best signings Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done all his life, made a winner. I mean, that is one into it. But I think it's fair to say that Manchester United, when they have bad days, they have off days, when the players, the key players are not performing, there doesn't seem that there be a strict system, a ground philosophy. I'm not sure if that is an English word, but you know what I mean. That in their game at the moment, and we're talking about Chelsea got problem, but you see the way they're playing at the moment is not good, and you have to depend on a Cavani fighting for the ball and get some great cross in, and Lingard give it to Cristiano Ronaldo. A bit more dependent on that, But so far, so good for Ole, because if you win the Champions League game, then you give more breathing space and Craig Burley will still have a job.
For Shaka. Shaka, do you think De Gea is back or close to being back to his best from years ago? Where would you rank him right now in terms of the best keepers in the world?
Okay, it's tough to say that De Gea is back to the best that he was years ago, because years ago, I didn't think there was much doubt to it. He was the best in world football. And I don't think he's back there yet. But I have to say, and I hold my hands up to this, I thought Henderson was the natural successor. And I thought, especially with him finishing off the season last year for the most part, I thought that was the right thing on the wall for David De Gea. I didn't see a way back for him. But what you've seen from him this season has made me eat my words. I am happy to say that. And he is playing incredibly well right now. Whether he's back to his old self, I wouldn't say that just yet. In terms of best in the world.
Okay, so top five.
Yes, I would say what we're seeing from him now, and albeit the season's only just started, I would say top five right now, yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of exactly who I'd have over him, but I can't think of. You have Manuel Neuer, Ter Stegen, who I had as a close number two, but Barcelona haven't played well.
Mendy. Mendy.
I certainly would have Mendy in there.
Yeah, Oblak in there.
I'm not sure I'd have Edison in there. I'd have Alisson.
Oblak.
So that's Oblak. And Keylor Navas. I'm a little bit on the fence.
Yes. Donnarumma. Donnarumma.
Because of Donnarumma, I'm a little bit on the fence. Top eight.
Top eight.
Top seven and a half.
All right, fair enough. All right. we got somewhere close, all right? Jan, with Harry Kane now playing like a man being held hostage at Spurs, does Daniel Levy sell him in the January window? If so, who's buying? So does Levy sell him in the January window? And if so, who's buying?
Well, he got a hat-trick tonight and in the Conference League. Yes, it's level three in Europe. But mind you, for every player, every goal getter is great to get goals. So maybe that will make a change for him in the Premiership. It is interesting because when you see Tottenham at the moment, maybe we would have been better to sell Harry Kane. He would be happy. And at the moment, at least, Tottenham couldn't be worse. So, but if he goes in January, I don't think that they will sell him in January. That depending that there is dealing going on that we know about now, because there are some terrible numbers coming out now from the football. When you saw Inter now, was it 250 million euro in minus or something? We had the same numbers at Juventus. I'm not sure what the numbers are at Tottenham, but maybe they're forced to sell in January. And then there are only one buyer, and that will be Manchester City, who don't have minus. They have only plus oil.
Jan, why is Elias Moriba not playing for Leipzig? He's such a talented player, but he has yet to make his official debut for Leipzig.
Well, it's not a player I know very well, but what I do know at the moment is that they are struggling at Leipzig. And I think when Jesse March is struggling, it's not the first thing that he will put new players in. Then he will try to go back to the Josef Paulsen of this world, Emil Forsberg of this world. But there is a great record of developing players at Leipzig, so he will be taken care of.
Okay. Frank, we have a lot of questions for you now, so don't think you're getting away with it. Let's start with this one. For Frank, I tried to find your book here in the local bookstores in Pakistan. A small bookshop owner asks me, who's this Frank guy anyway? I replied, have you heard about Frank and his book? You would have your own publishing house and multiple stores by now.
Oh.
It does say he's Don Hutchison's maths teacher, so don't take that too much. Yeah, I think he's back in there with this one on how many stars there would be.
Yeah. I listened to you, but what is the question, in fact, you know, if I can find a book over there in Pakistan?
Where can you find a book in Pakistan? Where?
Maybe we should try and find a way to send
nowhere.
A book. Maybe we should try and find a way to send a book to this person. Maybe.
I can do that. If you send, if you give me the address, I can send that to send one book to the guy. But the problem is, does he, that can he read French? Because otherwise, it's gonna be it's gonna be useless.
Hold that thought, because we have a question about that coming up. First of all, though, Frank, my little brother has stated multiple times that you are his favourite ESPN FC pundit. He liked the idea of reading a book written by yourself, but he can't read in French. Any news on an English translation in the offing?
Well, I would love that, you know, and I have to say, with all humility that you know me, I'm full of, you know, that I don't know, it doesn't depend on me. The editor will have to take the decision for that, because I think it costs quite a budget, you know, to do that. So I don't know. Hopefully, yes. I would love my former English fans to be able to read it. And I don't know. Maybe one day I will ask the question. Really, I will ask the question, but I don't have the answer.
But Frank,
maybe
you won the World
maybe
Cup.
Maybe you could do your
won
own.
The World Cup.
Go on.
that's all you need to interpret. Yes. I won the World Cup, yes. The end.
Maybe you could do an audiobook on your own in English.
Well, yes, why not? That's a good idea.
I'll go for that.
That's a good idea. You know, I will be, you know, we will be first page. I won the World Cup. Bye bye. You know, go with it.
The end.
I won the World Cup. The end. Fin. All right. Frank, what was it like operating on Stephen Hawking?
Oh.
Well, you know, the picture is nice. Oh. The movie is absolutely fantastic. I loved being in that movie. But I have to say, I arrived, I rehearsed once with all the actors, and we shot it like 2-3 times, you know, on any angle. And they say, okay, Frankie's done. Bravo, bye-bye. That's it. That's
it's
it.
Kind of so like today.
I'm very like you proud of being in that movie.
What's your time today? You just show up, answer a couple of questions.
See you later.
Don's mask
story
teacher, and away
life.
You go.
And
sign a book.
But I've been paid less than that I'm paid right now, you know, for saying what I'm saying right now. So that's what it is. But the thing, the thing is, it's always like that. But it was a very nice experience to see Eddie Redmayne talking to me, you know, just before rehearsing. And suddenly, the director said, you know, okay, take position. And he went into the bed. And he was Stephen Hawking. That was crazy, really. It struck me the most, you know, when I saw him, his performance, the way he rehearsed and worked on that character was absolutely fantastic. And no surprise for me that he got the Oscar for the best actor for that movie. It was absolutely fantastic.
It's a beautiful film, and if you haven't seen it, you should go and see it, especially because our Frank LaBeouf is in it.
Well, not just Frank LaBeouf. No. A clean-shaven Frank LaBeouf.
A clean-shaven
Frank LaBeouf.
Was that the
LaBeouf.
Last time you were clean-shaven, Frank?
That was the last time. And you know what? They wanted to make me wear a toupee. And they say, no, it doesn't work. You can stay like that.
That'd have been good. That'd have been good.
And I was so happy. No. I was so happy.
Bald is beautiful.
The movie is absolutely... Yeah, the movie is absolutely fantastic. And even me, I was on the plane the only time that I watched it. And at the end of the movie, I cried. I have to say that I cried. Because that's an absolutely fantastic movie. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah. I watched it on a plane too.
Yeah.
All right. And I was very surprised when I saw Frank LaBeouf in it.
We were together, maybe.
On the same plane. Don't start rumors like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Did Kane make you cry?
Story?
Is that what did Kane make you cry? That was...
But can you do it on a rainy night in Stoke?
Yeah, she made me cry.
Gone from doing it on a rainy night in Stoke to something about crying. Somebody's crying on a plane. Let's wrap this up before we all get in trouble.
Let's definitely wrap this up. All right. For Jan, Has he ever been to... Listen, I'm just going to say the Northern Lights. For Jan, has What's he that? Ever been to see the Northern Lights, which is the green light in the sky in northern Norway? Aurora Borealis.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And some parts of Norway. I'm actually born in the middle of Norway. And if we're lucky, then again, we can see it there as well. But I will say to everybody, you should go to North Norway once in your life. That is a fantastic place to go watching the lights or just feel the weather or the calmness.
Are you hosting us all? Are you offering to host us all, Jan?
If I'm doing what?
Are you offering to host us all in Northern Norway?
If I'm being there? Yeah, if I want you to come there.
Where, can we all come and stay with you?
When are you back from Bulgaria? We're coming around.
Kay, you can anytime come. Kay, you can come to me anytime and we can watch a Frank LeBeuf film together.
Okay, perfect. I've already seen it on the plane
Fantastic
with Frank LeBeuf.
You know what? You know, yes. it was for Valentine's Day, by the way, but we don't say anything. I went to Tromsø.
I remember that. Legendary game.
I went
game.
To Tromsø, Jan. Yes, in the Champions League, and we saw the Aurora Borealis.
Northern
that was
Lights.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I want to go. That's on my bucket list. That's on my bucket list.
But the problem is, isn't it, Jan? This is why we need to stay at your house, is that you might miss it. So
Correct.
You might have to come again.
Yes, you have to stay in my house, although my house is in South Norway, so then we have to watch it on the TV.
No.
That's no good.
Rubbish.
Not good
I will organize an hotel for you.
I can watch it on a TV here. In ESPN.
Right.
What's the point?
Exactly. What can you offer us then, Jan?
Oh, you... Should we go there?
No, we shouldn't. Not in today's episode.
No.
Right. Frank, last question.
Yeah.
If the staff at a restaurant are wearing shorts, is it then okay to wear shorts to that restaurant?
Good question.
Well, I would never go to a restaurant where waiters wear shorts. Something is wrong. It would be next to the beach or it would be nowhere because it's inappropriate, you know. The staff shouldn't be wearing shorts in restaurants, especially in Paris. You know, everybody would be kicked out, you know, because you don't do that. You know, you have to have some style. Come on.
What about flip-flops on an aeroplane?
Oh, good question.
Well, that's what you were wearing.
What's going on
I'm
here?
I'm going. I have no idea. Yeah. I'm going.
Nothing.
I don't
nothing.
Know what's
no, no.
Happened
we,
on
we want to ensure now. We
Go on,
no,
Frank.
I just want to ensure to people that we weren't on the same plane and
Too late to try and back out that one.
Yeah, Frank was in first class, I was in economy. All right, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the latest edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. I'm not really sure what happened on tonight's show.
I have no idea.
We'll be back tomorrow talking about rainy nights in Stoke. Don't forget, ESPN FC is available 7 days a week.